All right, I have to apologize. I think past couple weeks I wasn't able to do it, but I shouldn't let Minias get in the way of learning. So that's the truth. So I have to apologize. But okay, to get back into it. So we've been for the past like bunch of shiurim, we've been in the section of the Siddur of Karbanos, right? Talking about the Karbanos before Pesuk of the Zimra. So I'm thinking maybe one or two more, and then we should be able to move on to Hoidu. Whatever you call that, Pesuk Zimra, not Pesuk Zimra, we'll see. But, okay. So the truth is, what I want to speak about tonight is, it's really a little bit out of order. And I was thinking to myself, why didn't I talk about this when we were sort of up to it? But as I was thinking about it, I think it actually makes sense. It's more appropriate now. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar. You'll see. Okay, so one of the most important parts of Karbanos is saying the Parsha of the Tamid. So, again, you don't have the Siddur in front of you, but, you know, you open a Siddur, you'll find it. That it's sort of basically in the beginning of Karbanos, we read the Parsha of the Tamid. V'davashem Ha'shalemar, Hashem says to Moshe, Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, command the Jewish people that every single morning and evening they should bring a carbon, Tamid, and that's essential to davening. Davening is in place of Karbanos, in particular the carbon Tamid. So we say Parsha Tamid. That's that makes a lot of sense. Now, so we'll talk about that. We'll focus in on that now. So if you take a look at the first Maromokin that you have, so the tour in Siv Mem Ches, one of the great Rishonim. The tour in Siv Mem Ches and Shulchan Aruch talks about this idea of saying Parshas HaTamid. So let's see how he says it. So he says like this: V'kavu likreis Parshas HaTamid. It was established to say in the Siddur Parshas HaTamid before davening by Karbanos. K'di'isa b'medrash, and he says the reason for this is based on what we find in the Medrash. He quotes part of it. We'll see in a moment. Kvar hekdamti lehem seder Karbanos. The Medrash says that Hashem told Avraham Avinu. We'll see about it in a moment. That Hashem told Avraham Avinu that if you don't actually have the opportunity to bring actual karbanos, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, kvar hekdamti lehem seder karbanos. I already gave to them, the Jewish people, the seder of karbanos, the order of karbanos. In other words, the parsha of karbanos. Kol zman she'oskim behem, as long as Klal Yisrael are involved in the parsha of karbanos, the parsha HaTamid, so mala ani aleim kilu ukim lefanai. To me, it's considered as if they brought it. That's what the measure says. So you learn, you read the Parshas HaTamid, it's as if you brought it. That's why he says the Torah. That's why we say it. Fine, the Torah continues. The Toiv Loi Machra, it's also good to say after this, towards the end of Karbanos, we have it in our Siddur, Seder HaMarocha, the order of how the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was done, what was first, what was second, and so on. And that's what we say. This is the nusach of it. Abayim esader seder marocha liba davashol. Right. That's what we have at the end of towards the end of Karbanos. It's from a Gemara Yuma. It's a Gemara Yuma. Abaya esader seder marocha mishmei de Gemara. That Abaya organized the process of the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, the daily avodah, from tradition. Liba davashol, according to the opinion of Abashol. There's a machlokes between Abashol and the Chachamim. In the Gemara Yuma, exactly about certain events in the Beis HaMikdash, what exact order it was, Abaya had this sort of this seder, this template of what Avodah was based on the opinion of Abashal. And so says the Torah. It's good to say that as well. So that's what the Torah says. So you say Parshas HaTamid because by saying Parshas HaTamid, it's as if you're bringing the carbon. Okay. And it's also good to say this nusach of Abaya that sort of to go through the daily schedule of the Beis HaMikdash, and Abaya, you know, sort of lays it out for us. That's what the Torah says. Okay. What's this medrash that the Torah is coming from? So he quotes it from, it's interesting, the Torah quotes it from a medrash. It's a Gemara, it's a couple Gemaras. So take a look at Gemara number two. It's a Gemara in Tainus and a Gemara in Megillah. So it's both the same Gemara. So it's in Tainus Chav Zayin Mebeis, Megillah Lamed Aleph Mebeis. The Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Amr Rav Asi, Rav Yaakov Bar Acha said the name of Rav Asi, Ilamoli Ma'amadais, if it wasn't for Karbanos, brought in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Yiniskan Mishmayim V'aretz, heaven and earth wouldn't exist. What sustains heaven and earth are Karbanos. Shenemar, and so now the Gemara explains this in weaving it into a conversation between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. says like this. It says in Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, V'yoymer Hashem Elokim, Avram Avinu says to Hashem, B'ma Ida Karishana, how do I know that my children will inherit Eretz Yisrael? So that's the question that Avram Avinu says. Chazal interpreted like this. Amar Avram, what Avram Avinu was saying is like this. Rabbanu Shel, Master of the Universe, Shem Yisrael Chaitin Lefenecha, when he's asking the question, how do I know they'll inherit it? And mother says, how do I know that everything's going to go according to plan? Maybe my children will sin. And at Oisalem, Kadara Mabel, Kadara Floga. And you'll do what you did to the Mabel, the Floga, it'll all be lost. So what's my guarantee? So Amr Lay, Lav. Hashem said, no, it's not going to happen. Amr Lefon of Rabbanu Shel Olam. So Avraham Avinu says, okay, Master of the Universe, Haydeen, B'mer Hashem, I trust you, but what's the safeguard? What's the protection? So Amr Lay, so this is what the Pasuk then says. Hashem says to Avram, Kecheli Egla Mushaleshes, V'oiz Mushaleshes, bring these animals as a sacrifice. In other words, Hashem is telling Avram Avinu, it's Karbonis that's going to make sure everything works. So you have to have Karbonis. Amr Lefon of Rabbanu Shalom said Hashem, Avram Avinu says, Master of the Universe, Teinach Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim, that's good if there's a Beis HaMikdash. Bezman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Matei Alem, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, what's going to be? If there's no Karbonis? So this is the next response, that's what the Torah was referencing. Amr Loi, Hashem says to him, Kfar Tikanti Lem Seder Karbonis, I already established for them the order of Karbonis, in other words, the Parsha of Karbonis. Bezman She'karim Ben, when they read it, right? So when they read it to me, before me, it'll be, I'm considering as if they brought the karbanas. And I forgive them for their sins. That's the Gemara Tainus, Gemara Megillah. That's what the Torah is referencing. There's another Gemara that basically says a similar idea, a Gemara Menachas, Gemara Malka number 3. So a Gemara Menachas, Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara says in Menachah, it's not a whole conversation between Avram, Avinu, and Hashem, but the Gemara just like sort of says it straight. Om Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Maidich Siv." What does it mean in Parshas VeYikra where it talks about Karbonis? It has a certain pattern. The pasuk always says, "Zayis Torah Sachatas, Zayis Torah Sa'asham." This is the Torah of the Chatas. This is the Torah of the Asham. Why does it use that term? This is the laws of the Chatas. Why does it use the word Torah? So when it's talking about bringing karbanos, so said Rabbi Yitzchak, it's hinting us the following thing: Kol Oisik b'Torahs Chatas is kilu hikr chatas. In other words, the pasuk is trying to say that even if you don't actually bring a chatas, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, zois Torahs Chatas. If you learn about a chatas, you learn the halachas and so on. It's kilu you brought the chatas. Kol Oisik b'Torahs Chatas is kilu hikr chatas. V'Kol Oisik b'Torahs Asham kilu hikr Asham. All the karbanos. That's the idea. So again, so both the Gemara and Tainus and Megillah. And the Gemara Menachos, both are basically saying the same thing, which is that if you can't actually bring Karbanos, at least learn about Karbanos. And when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. So it says the Torah. That's why we say Parshas HaTamid. Right? Now the Torah also said, and it's also good to say the thing, the Seder of Abaya, right? That Abaya said, this is the order of the Beis HaMikdash, they would do this, and then that, and then this. So the Torah said that's also good to say. Okay, the Torah didn't explain why it's good to say that. Presumably the same idea. Learning about Karbanos, it's as if you brought it, probably the same idea. But that's what the Torah. Okay, so take a look at Maramaka number 4. Now, if you remember, we spoke about this maybe a few weeks ago. This is an explanation of why we say Parshas HaTamid, right? That's what we saw, Parshas HaTamid. Now, a few weeks ago, we learned about this, that we also say, at the end of Karbanos, we say a parak of Mishnah, Ezem Kaiman, right? And then we also have a Brisa, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. So we spoke about this, that the Torah himself, later on in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Nun, this was Simen Memches, about Parshas HaTamid. In Simen Nun, he says you should say Ezem Kaiman, and you should say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Why? So said the Torah, because there's a concept, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that a person should learn every single day, Chumash, Mishnayos and Gemara. You should be able to at least say that, you know, at the end of the day, you learned a little bit Chumash, a little bit Mishnah, and a little bit Gemara. So based on that, says the Torah, you're saying Parshas HaTamid because of what he said, right, Memeches, which is that you want to be able, you learn Parshas HaTamid as if you brought a carbon. Nope, but that's Chumash. So you add a third of it down. So once you already did a third, so say Ezum HaKayman, that's Mishnah, and say Brisa Rabbi Shmuel, that's a Gemara. So you've got Chumash, Mishnayos and Gemara. That's how the Torah So that's the picture of the Torah. So Parshat Talmud is because you want to learn about the Talmud. It's as if you brought a Talmud. Once you did that, we'll add a Zumakaiman and Rabbi Shmuel Maimer to fulfill the inyan of learning every day Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. That's how the Torah puts it. Okay. The Vilna Gaon is not like that. The Vilna Gaon has a different model of this. You'll see what I mean. Take a look at Mar Malka number 4. Okay, so far this was the Torah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch basically quotes, you know, what we just mentioned, which is in terms of like what to say. He doesn't say why, he just says like what to do. So the Ramah writes like this in Mar Malka number 4. The Oimrim, the Ramah says, and we say Parshat Tamid, we say Parshat Tamid. The Yesh Oimrim say the Maracha, and some people also say the Seder of Maracha, right? Abaya, the system of Abaya, right? Abaya, Masada, Seder Maracha, Mishmei de Gemara, Levi da Bishol, that whole thing. What the Torah said you should say also, the Ramah says some people say. Okay, so the Ramah just quotes from the Torah. Comes the Gra, the Gra wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, and what he does is sort of, officially what he's doing is just giving sources, right? So any line in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir HaGra will give a source, not just back to the Torah, or it'll go all the way back to Chazal. That's what the Bir HaGra does. But very often in the way he cites sources, he very often says new ideas, and sometimes even disagrees with some earlier commentaries just by simply how he cites things. You'll see like this example. So take a look at what the Gra says, but it's very concise. So the Bir HaGra. On the first words of the Ramah, again, the Ramah over there in Siman Ches just codified what the Torah told us, which is two things. Say Parshat Tamid and say the Seder of Abaya, right? That's what the Ramah said to do. Comes the Bir HaGra, and the Bir HaGra explains why you say these things. Says the Bir HaGra, V'aymrim Parshat Tamid. We say Parshat Tamid. Why do you say Parshat Tamid? Says the Ramah, says the Gra, Ayin l'kaman simin nun. Take a look in Simin Nun, you'll see why you say Parshat Tamid. Okay? The Yesh Amir Seder Maracha, the second statement of the Ramah, you should also say the Seder Maracha of Abaya. Says the Gra, why do we say that? K'masha Amru b'saif Tainis v'saif Megillah v'saif Menachas. Because of the Gemara Tainis, Megillah, and Menachas. Okay. Everyone, you hop right away what the Gra is doing. No, okay, so I'll explain what the Gra is doing. The first statement of the Ramah, we say Parshat Tamid. Okay. If you're the Gra, your job is to explain why we do these things. Why do we say Parshat Tamid? The Torah said, you say Parshat Tamid because when you say Parshat Tamid, it's as if you brought the Tamid. Where is that idea coming from? Those are the Gemaras that we said before. The Gemara Megillah, Gemara Tainis, the Gemara Menachos, right? The Avram Avinu was told by Hashem, if they don't have a base in Migdash, let them learn Parshat Tamid. And when they learn Parshat Tamid, it's as if they brought it, right? Zaystar Zachata, Zaystar Zalasham, right? Those are the Gemaras. So on the first statement of the Ramah, which is to say Parshat Tamid, that's, if I was the Gra, that's where I would say Kamash Amr, Saif Tainis, Saif Megillah, Saif Menachos, because that's the source that the Torah said. That's not what the Gra does. What the Gra says is, the reason why we say Parshat Tamid, take a look in Simin Nun. What's in Simin Nun? So take a look at Mar Malka number 5. What does it say in Simin Nun? In Simin Nun, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, Kavu lishnais achar Parshat Tamid. The minig is, after you say Parshat Tamid, to say Perek Hazeh Mokayman, Ubraisud Rabbi Shmuel, Kedesha Yizka Kol Adam Lilme, B'kol Yoyim, Mikra Mishnah V'Tamid. So this idea of saying Ezeh Mokayman and Braisa Rabbi Shmuel in order to fulfill Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Says the Gra, that's why we say Parshat Tamid. In other words, according to the Torah, again, remember, what did the Torah say? The Torah said, why do we say Parshat Tamid? Because it'll be as if you brought the carbon Tamid. Once we're saying Parshat Tamid anyway, then add in Ezeh Mokayman and add in Rabbi Shmuel in order that you should be able to say that, you know, I did Chumash anyway because I wanted to be able to say that as if I brought a carbon Talmud. So once I did that, I'll add Ezeh Mokayman, I'll add Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, I'll have Mikra, I'll have Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. Says the Gra, no, that's the only reason why you're saying Parshat Talmud. The reason why we say Parshat Talmud, says the Gra, is Ayin Semen Nun. The only reason to say Parshat Talmud is because we want to be able every day to say Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. And since we want to be able to guarantee that a person says Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara, that's why That's why we say Parsha Tamid, that's Chumash, that's what we say Yizim Ukaiman, that's Mishnah, and that's what we say Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, that's for Gemara. That's why. That's why. Says the Gra, and why do we say Abaya, have a Masader, say the Maracha, Mishmei the Gemara, Levi the Abishol? Why do we say that text of Abaya's organization of what happened to the Beis HaMikdash? To that, the Gra says, because of the Gemara and Megillah and Tainis and Menachos, that when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you did it. So what's the Gra doing? So the Gra, what the Gra is doing is that logic, that reason of when you say Karbanos, it's as if you brought it, he's not applying that to the actual Parsha of the Talmud. He's applying that to this sort of text of Abaya, and that's the reason, and that through the text of Abaya, that's how you fulfill this inyan of the Gemara and Megillah, Tainis and Menachos, that when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. Why do we say the Parsha of Talmud? That's for a completely different reason. That's because we want every single day to have this fulfillment of Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. For the same reason why we say Ezom HaKaiman and Brais Rabbi Shmuel. So what's happening is, again, so let's break it down. We have the Tur's approach and the Gra's approach. The Tur's approach is, again, everyone agrees to the same basic things, which is you have this Gemara Megillah, you have this Gemara Tainis, you have this Gemara Menachos, which is that it's definitely there. Some, when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. And that's certainly a good idea. We have to do that if there's no Beis HaMikdash. So there is that idea. So what are we saying in order to fulfill that? What are we saying in order to do that? Well, says the Torah, that's Parshat HaTamid. You say Parshat HaTamid, that's how you're accomplishing what the Gemara says to do, which is learn about Karbanos. It's as if you bring Karbanos. That's why we say Parshat HaTamid. Okay. Why do we then say the Seder of Abaya? Oh, it's a nice thing to say. Why not? But the main thing of what we're doing in order to study about Karbanos, to bring Karbanos, that's Parshas HaTamid. Happens to be once we did that, so now we have Chumash down. Okay, so say Ezel Mekayman and say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, and then you also have Chumash Mishnah Gemara. Says the Vilna Gaon differently. The only reason why in order to fulfill the inyan of the Gemara, Megillah, Tainis, and Menachos, learn about Karbanos as if you brought it, it's not happening because of Parshat Tamid. That's not accomplishing that. What's going to accomplish that is saying the Seder of Abaya. Why do we say Parshat Tamid? Only in order to have Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. The same reason why we say Zayim Kaiman and Reis Rabbi Shmuel, that's also the reason why we say Parshat Tamid. Again, so that's what that's what the Gra says. That's what he says over here. Again, let's go back to Maramach number 4, right? Again, the Rama said, you can't blame the Rama for anything. All he's doing is just telling you what to say. V'aymrim parsha tamid, v'yesh aymrim seyde maracha. Again, seyde maracha, that's Abaya, right? So that's what the Rama said. Says the Gra, b'yar Gra. Aymrim parsha tamid, why do we say parsha tamid? Ayin lakaman siman nun. Based on what the Shulchan Aruch says in siman nun. And again, what does he say in siman nun? That you should say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, you should say Zeh Mekayman and Rabbi Shmuel in order to have Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. In other words, so what the Gra is doing now is saying that's the reason to say Parshat HaTamid also. That's the reason. It's the same reason why we're giving, the same reason why we say Zeh Mekayman and to say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, that's the reason to say Parshat HaTamid. On the next statement, which is V'yesh Oimerim Seydim Aracha, to say the Seydim Aracha of Abaya, to this the Gra says, Kamasha Omer, B'Saif Tainis, Saif Megillah, Saif Menachos, that when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. So here's the question. The question is, why would the Gra say that? I mean, what exactly is the logic of the Gra? You have Parshat Tamid. Parshat Tamid, that's literally the Parsha of a Karbanos. But yet the Gra says, by saying that, that doesn't accomplish as if you brought it. What's the idea? So here's like, this is very simple. You had a question?
Yeah. So how does the Gra answering after you say Brachas Torah, those three parts, what would we say?
That's in order to fulfill Brachas Torah. That's not because of this.
You couldn't fulfill both the same.
Oh, you mean meaning Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara? Yeah, I think he wanted it to be enough. He wanted it to have like a something that you can sink your teeth into, probably something like that. But yeah. Okay, so the truth is like this. If you take a look at the language of the Gemaras, so in Maramaka number 2, right, the Gemara Tainis, the Gemara Megillah, and Maramaka number 3, the Gemara Menachos, Take a look at the language. So in Marmukah number three, let's say we'll do that one. That's very straightforward. Again, the Gemara. Again, so the question we're dealing with is like this. Again, the Gemara, Tainus, Megillah, and Menachos all say the same basic idea, which is that when you read Karbanos, it's as if you brought it. And the Vilna Gaon comes up with a Chiddush, and the Vilna Gaon says that does not apply to actually saying the Parsha of Karbanos, the actual Parsha of Talmud. It doesn't have that trick. Why not? So if you take a look again, so let's look at the language of the Gemara. Take a look at Marmukah number three. Again, the Gemara said, So says the Gemara like this, the language of the Gemara Menachos is that if you are Isaac, if you toil, involve yourself in the laws of Chatas, it's as if you brought a Chatas. If you involve yourself in toil in the laws of Ashim, it's as if you brought an Ashim. That language of Isaac, like Lasik with Divrei Torah, that is a classic that, you know, lights start going off. That's Tarsh Baal Peh. That's a Tarsh Baal Peh language. When you're reading Chumash, the language that Chazal would use is not Isaac. The word Isaac means toil and laboring, thinking intensely, asking questions back and forth. That's Tarsh Baal Peh. So the Gemara Menachos, which tells us this idea that by in being involved in Karbanos, it's as if you're bringing them. The Gemara Menachos is certainly not talking about reading Karbanos. It's talking about what? Tarsh Baal Peh, studying intensely the laws of Karbanos. Now that's the Gemara Menachos. What about the other Gemaras in Tainus and Megillah? So take a look at the language over there. Again, two or three lines before the end. Amar Loi, right? The final response of Hashem to Avraham Avinu was, Kfarti kanti lahem seder karbanos. I established for them the order of karbanos. Bizman shekarim behem lafonai, when they read it in front of me, mala ani aleim keilu akirim lafonai, I'll consider it as if they've brought it, and I'll forgive them for their sins. What is the Gemara over there talking about? Is it talking about studying something in Tarsh Baal Peh, or is it talking about reading Tarsh Bechsav? There's a little bit of a conflict. The first words that Hashem said is, Kfar tikanti lem seder karbanos. What do you mean seder karbanos? What should Hashem say? Kfar tikanti lem parshas hakarbanos. What's seder karbanos? The order of karbanos. But then he goes, so the fact that he uses the word seder karbanos, maybe that's more Tarsh Baal Peh. But then the words are, so I gave them Seder Karbanos, and Hashem says, Bizman Shekarim Bam, and when they read it, it'll be as if they brought it. Well, that sounds like more you're talking about Tarsh B'chsav. So the Gemara Menachos is certainly talking about Tarsh Baal Peh. Isaac, right? Toiling in Chatas, toiling in Hashem. The Gemara Menachos, the Gemara Tainus and Megillah, it's a little bit funny. It's the fact that it uses the word, when the Jewish people read it, it sounds like it's talking about Tarsh B'chsav. But if it's talking about Tarsh B'chsav, then Hashem should say, I gave them Parsha Sakarbonis. That's the term that you would use for Tarsh B'chsav. What's Seder Karbonis? The answer is, the Gemara Tainus and Megillah is also talking about Tarsh Baal Peh. But Tarsh Baal Peh is divided into two parts. The Gemara classically, in Gemara language, it's called Ligrois v'Hadar Lizbar. Tarsh Baal Peh is in two parts. The way Chazal learned Tarsh Baal Peh and the way they gave it over to the Talmidim and Talmidim to Talmidim was in two parts. Part number one, memorize facts. Memorize facts. Memorize texts. Not Chumash, but just these are the words that you have to memorize. Now that you are just like a walking, you know, bookshelf, and you have just these words, then you spend the next part of your career in learning to figure it out, to toil over it. That's the language of the Gemara says this as a klal. That the person should ligrois, a person should girsa means to become expert in the text of Tarsh Baal Peh, v'hadar lizbar, and then understand it. This was especially important in those days where things weren't written down. So nowadays, I could take a sefer off the shelf, and I don't have to have much knowledge about anything else, and I could just sort of really, you know, dive in and focus on this particular page. Because if there's any missing piece of information, I'll look elsewhere. because I'm able to find those things with references and things like that. But if I don't have any, you know, if I don't have any information, you know, if I don't have any books to look into, then I have no material to work with. You know, what I mean, so I have to first amass a lot of knowledge just in terms of memorization, right? And then I could delve into it and think about it. Both Gemaras, the Gemara in Tainus and Megillah, where it talks about this language, Kfar tikantalim seder karbonas. Hashem says the Jewish people have what's called seder karbonas, and when they read it, right, it'll be as if they're bringing karbonas. That's still talking about Tarsh Baal Peh, but that's talking about the first, the first half of Tarsh Baal Peh, which is sort of a text, and it was verbal, it was oral, but a codified text that was transmitted from Rebbe to Talmud of like, this is the basic, sort of seder of what karbanos are about. Not the chumash, but a seder of what karbanos practically were in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's stage one in your learning. And then once you know that text, then what you would do then is what's called asik, to toil yourself. So the Gemara, so what comes out is that upon careful reading the Gemara in Tainus Megillah and Menachos, what comes out is mamash like the Gra. In order to fulfill this inyan of being involved with karbanos, it's as if you brought it. None of these Gemaras are talking about Tarsh B'Chsav. All of these Gemaras are talking about Tarsh Baal Peh. The Gemara Tainus and Megillah is talking about the sort of the learning of Tarsh Baal Peh as a text. That when you learn that text of karbanos, it's as if you're bringing karbanos. And the Gemara Menachos is talking about even after you know that text, by studying, by toiling, by thinking about it, by being Isaac in that text and Torah, it's also as if you brought the karbanos. And this is exactly where the growth is coming from. When the growth says the reason why we say the Seder Maroch of Abaya. Abayav Masadr Seder Marocha Mishmei de Gemara Liv Davishol. This what does that mean? It means this was the text that Abaya formulated for his Talmidim. This is what happened in Beis HaMikdash every single day. Memorize it. You understand it, you don't understand it, you know why, you don't know why. You'll spend the rest of your life figuring it out. But this is the text. And that's what the Rosh Hashivas would do. That's what the Amoraim would do. They would have a text. That's what Mishnayos are, right? These are texts of laws that the Chacham would come up with and just force feed the Talmidim, memorize it, say it 100 times until you memorize it, and then they spend the rest of your life figuring it out. And so that's called Seder Karbanos. So says the Gemara, Tainus and Megillah, when you learn, the Hashem says, there's Seder Karbanos. Learn Seder, read Seder Karbanos. Again, reading doesn't mean Tarsh B'Chsav. It means reading the text of Seder Karbanos. That's called Tarsh, that's learning Tarsh Baal Peh, but it's that section of, that's sort of first stage of Tarsh Baal Peh, and then it's as if you brought the Karbanos. And the Gemara Menachos is telling you something more, even after you know that text, by studying it deeply and thinking about it and so on, asking questions. Isaac, that's also as if you brought the Karbanos. But this is where the growth is coming from. Nowhere in Chazal do we have a source that by learning Tarsh B'Chsav of Karbanos, it's as if you're bringing it. Therefore, says the Gra, you want to know why we're saying Parshat Talmud? It's not because of these Gemaras, it's as if you brought a Karban. It's not true. That's the reason why we're saying the Seder Maroch of Abaya, because that's Tarsh Baal Peh. That's a good source. That I could give you a source in the Gemaras, that when you learn Tarsh Baal Peh, it's as if you bring Karbanos, for sure. Why are we saying Parshat Talmud? That's why the Gra has to come up with this idea that the only reason why we say Parshat Talmud is because every single day you should learn Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit short, but that's where the growth is coming from. Yeah, I don't have an explanation for the Torah, but that's where the growth is coming from. The truth is, you should know, there is a Gerus in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoina, in Maseches Brachos, when he records this Gemara in Tainus and Megillah, his language was not Seder Karbanos, his language is Parshas Karbanos. So fine. So according to Rabbeinu Yoina, the Gemara is talking about Tarsh B'Chsav. But that's not our Gerus. Again, our Gerus is Seder Karbanos. Seder Karbanos means Tarsh Baal Peh. It just means the text of Tarsh Baal Peh. So that's what comes out. So again, what comes out of all of this is that the sheet of the Gra, based on careful reading of the Gemaras that we have, is the following idea. This idea that when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if you're bringing it, only applies to the study of Tarsh Baal Peh. When you learn Karbanis in the context of Tarsh Baal Peh, whether it be a text of Tarsh Baal Peh, whether it be, you know, thinking deeply about it in the context of Tarsh Baal Peh, as long as you're involved in the subject matter of Karbanis in the world of Tarsh Baal Peh, it's as if you're bringing it. But if you're involved with Karbanis just in terms of Tarsh Bechsav, this magic, it doesn't work like that. It's learning, but the idea that it's as if you're bringing it doesn't exist. That's the grow. The truth is, this idea of the Gemara that if this trick that if you learn about it, it's as if you're doing it. According to many Rishonim, that doesn't just apply to Karbanis. That's a general principle. Anytime a person can't fulfill a particular mitzvah, so this model applies. Learn about it, it's as if you're doing it. Right? It's a general principle. But again, based on what the grow would say is, but that's only in Tarsh Baal Peh. It's only in Tarsh Baal Peh. So as long as a person is learning about something in the context of Tarsh Baal Peh, again, whatever Madreg it is, the text part of Tarsh Baal Peh, the innovative thinking parts of Tarsh Baal Peh, whatever it is, but as long as it's removed from Tarsh Bechsav in the context of Tarsh Baal Peh, then it has this trick that when you study, it's as if you're doing it. It's as if it's happening. And so, fine. So far, so good. Everyone got it? Hard part's over. Now let's go deeper. Maybe this is the hard part. But okay, the question is why? So what is it? What is it? So we have this new idea from the Vilna Gaon, which is all Torah is amazing. But there's a certain unique quality to Tarsh Baal Peh that when you study something in Tarsh Baal Peh, it's as if it's literally happening. That's what the Gemara is telling us. And that's a unique quality. From these Gemaras, when you just read these Gemaras first, you would think that's a quality of Torah in general. The Torah has this quality that when you study something, it's as if it's happening. But comes the Gemara and says, no. Look at the language of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't just talk about Parsha. The Gemara talked about Tarsh Baal Peh. It means there's something about Tarsh Baal Peh in particular that when you study something in Tarsh Baal Peh, then it's as if it's happening. But we can't say that to Tarsh Bechsav. The question is why? Okay. So, as I mentioned, why Bashgacha Pratis are we learning about this tonight? So you'll see. The answer to this of why Tarsh Baal Peh is unique in that way is very connected to Purim. Take a look at Maromoka number 6. We'll take a little bit of a detour. There's a Gemara in Yuma, Chav Tesamid Aleph. It's one of those classic Gemaras that a lot of the Sfarim use when they start talking about Purim. So the Gemara says in Yuma like this. We know that one of the kapitlach in Tehillim that's Purim, that's Mamish Purim, is, I don't remember which kapitlach, of Zion, maybe something around the Keli Keli Lama Zavtani, right? Lamnatzeach Ayal Sashachar. Mizmor David, right? Something like that. Lamnatzeach Ayal Sashachar. So there's a kapitel Tehillim, which the Gemara says in Megillah, the tradition was that when Esther Malka was going into Achashverosh, she was going in, she had Ruach HaKodesh, and then as she's walking through the palace, she feels the Ruach HaKodesh leave, right? Because there's a Avodah Zarah around, whatever it is. And so she says this kapitel Tehillim, Kaili Kaili Lamavtani, my God, why are you leaving me now? So the kapitel, that's like a Purim Dikka kapitel. So it's the kapitel starts, Lamnatzeach Ayal Sashachar. This is a song of the morning of the sun rising. Kayal Sashachar, like the sun rising. So the Gemara in Yuma, Adav Chav Tesamid Aleph, sees from there a connection between Purim and the rising sun and the morning. What's that connection? So Omer Rav Asi. So Rav Asi said like this. Why is Esther Malka, why is Purim compared to the morning? So Loimer Lacha, says Rav Asi, to tell you, Ma Shachar Saif Kalalaila, just like when the sun begins to rise, that means the end of the night, right? It's the end of the night. Af Esther Saif Kalanisa. So just like the sun rising is the end of the night, so too Megillas Esther is the end of miracles. In other words, the open miracles that we had in Jewish people in history, Esther Malka's, Purim is the end of that. So just like the sun coming up is the end of the night, Purim is the end of miracles. Says the Gemara, Ay v'ikka Chanukah, ask the Gemara, end of miracles. What about Chanukah? Chanukah is in the second base of English, that's after Purim. Says the Gemara, Lichtav Karmina. No, I'm talking about miracles that made it into Tarsh Bechsav. Miracles that are recorded in Tarsh Bechsav, Esther's the end, right? Because Chanukah is already after Tarsh Bechsav was sealed. So that's why Purim is called the end of the night, because it's the end of the miracles. That's the Gemara. Marmokah number 7, Rav Tzadik. Rav Tzadik in Sefer Sisei Laila, Ois Nun Vav. So this, what we're going to see now is just like a little piece of Ois Nun Vav. It's a Gvaldige piece. But he says like this. Asks Rav Tzadik like this. Ulechaira, so Rav Tzadik has two questions in this Gemara. Both kind of obvious. First of all, Ulechaira, ma bekach lo yinichtav. Again, says the Gemara, Esther, Megillas Esther is called the end of miracles. Why? I, what about Hanukkah? Says the Gemara, yeah, you know, but Purim is the end of miracles that were recorded in Torah Shebichsav. Whereas Hanukkah is after that. Esther Tzadik, Ulechar Mabakach, who cares? Like, wait, it's like a technicality. Like, what's the difference? A miracle is a miracle. So yes, it was recorded in Torah Shebichsav, not recorded in Torah Shebichsav, whatever. You're telling me that Esther is the end of miracles? It's not true. Hanukkah happened after Purim. Okay, so it's not in Torah Shebichsav. What's the difference? It's still a miracle. So Luchar Mavakach, who cares? Delay Nichta that it wasn't written. Saif Saif Hayin Eis. Lamai Sechanik was an Eis. Vadayin Ein Esther Saif Kashachar. And that means Purim is not the end. So what does it mean that Purim is the end? Because like in the context of Torah Shebichsav, who cares? Why are you making such, you're making these categories. Why are you making these categories for? Vagam. Second problem, which I think is a maybe more obvious one. Mashihim shall call Anisim Lalila. What's the mashal? Just like the sun rising is the end of night, so too Purim is the end of miracles. It means that what? It means you're comparing miracles to nighttime. Really? If anything, wouldn't you compare miracles to daytime? Day is light and clarity. What's going on? Purim is the end of an era of miracles, and therefore it's compared to the morning, which is the end of an era of night. So that means you're comparing miracles to nighttime. So he says, "Vagam mashehim shall call anisim alayla." The Gemara is comparing all miracles and an era of miracles to the era of nighttime, the Esther l'shachar. And because of that, Esther, which is the end of that era, means the morning. Im hanes who are, one second, miracles should mean light and clarity. Harei kol nisim gamkein hayu meirim oid yoser. So what are we talking about? If Purim is like the morning, then every other miracle should be like day, right? The Pesach yotzim adus l'cheiros. Pesach, for example, is an unbelievable miracle, right? Pesach, we're free, right? Purim akati avid Achashverosh, and on Purim we're still slaves, right? We're still stuck with Achashverosh. So what's going on over here? We're comparing miracles to nighttime? Miracles should be compared to daytime. Okay. Avala inyan hu. So it says Ratzak like this. He deals with the second question first. Why is the Gemara comparing miracles to nighttime? So it says Ratzak like this. Amru bereish Pesachim. The Gemara says in the beginning of Pesachim, Do'olam haza nimshal alayla. This physical world, says the Gemara Pesachim, is compared to night, whereas Olam Haba, the spiritual world, that's compared to day. That's the Gemara Pesachim. So the Gemara Pesachim tells us, introduces us to a new model, which is Olam Haza, physical reality versus spiritual reality. Physical reality is called nighttime, spiritual reality is called daytime. That's the Gemara. Why is physical reality called nighttime? Says Ratzalik, that's obvious. Why? So he says like this, Amru Bereish Pesachim. Again, the Gemara says in Pesachim, Olam Haza Nimshal Alayla. This world, physical, is compared to night. Olam Haba L'Yom, and Olam Haba is compared to the day. Hainu, why? The Olam Haza, in this physical world, it says in Pasuk, Zeshmi La'alam Ksiv. We know the name of Hashem is Yud-Kivavke, right? We don't say Yud-Kivavke. The name of Yud-Kivavke is hidden in this world, right? Why? Dakar Sa'em Islamitai, because recognizing the truth, the Shem Havai, the name of Hashem, Shemidas Ha'emes, which is the truth, which is, what does the name Yud-Kivavke mean? That Hashem was, is, and always will be. Like, basically, He's the only thing. He's the only game in town. That we don't say in this world, right? Because it's not, the world is, this world is dark. This world is nighttime. So that makes a lot of sense. Nelam Oid Ba'ilam Hazeh. Shu Alma Deshikr, this world is a world of falsehood. The Kol Inyan of Sheker, everything in the world is Sheker. And this world darkens and conceals the truth. And what is the truth? That there's nothing but Hashem Mamish. There's nothing other than Hashem. That's the real truth. And the fact that this world seems to scream not like that, that means this world is a world of falsehood. And that's why this world is compared to nighttime. So that's why, says Ratzalik, that's why we don't say the name Yud-Kivavke. You can't say the name Yud-Kivavke because what are you going to say? This world stands opposed to that reality. But says Ratzalik, what's interesting is, but you can write Yud-Kivavke. You can write Yud-Kivavke. You can't say Yud-Kivavke because, like, that truth of Yud-Kivavke is not apparent. So Why are you allowed to write it? You ever thought about that question? That's your question. Why are you allowed to write it? So it says Rav Tzaddik, V'rak nechtav b'ksiva, but it can be written. She gam kein levush magshim oisis hadibor, letters which sort of are like the body to the word, right? You say something and like, it's like it's a, the body for it is the letters that you write. So that you're able to do. Umalbishim b'tzuras oisis gashmis, and you can take the letters yudke vavke and you could write it down. You have to be careful with it then, you know, but you're allowed to write it down. Shel dayo al gabi klaf, ink on parchment, v'niyar, or on paper. It's not as, and somehow that you're allowed to do that, although you can't say it, but you're allowed to write it down. So what's the idea? So I'll tell you outside, and then we'll see it inside together. It says, this is the model. There's a general principle, and it's a little bit counterintuitive, but the principle is as follows. The higher something is, the more it wants to descend lower. That's the principle. The higher the light, the more it wants to go down. I don't mean down in a bad way, but the more, the darker the caves it wants to illuminate. So we have this principle, right? Like I've mentioned this many times from Chassidus, there's an idea. If you have like a very, very dark cave, so and you want to make it light, a little flash is not going to do it. You need a floodlight. But it's more than just like that's, you know, what's needed. Like if light can talk, like if light had a personality and a consciousness, a flashlight would tell you, I'm not interested in lighting up a cave. But a floodlight would tell you, what do you mean? That's my whole inyan is to light up caves. So it's not only that in order to light up a cave, you need a floodlight. That's, the floodlight wants to light up a cave. That's what it's for. So this is the principle. The higher the light, the more it itself demands it is compelled to illuminate that which is lower. Step one. Step two. If that higher light does not find its way all the way down to illuminate the lowest things, which is what it's created for, then in fact, if it doesn't go all the way down, it could actually be damaging. What's an example? So this is an example. We stood by Har Sinai, yeah? What happened when Hashem said, Anoichi Leilcha, what happened? Parach Nishmasim. That's not good, right? That's not, that was very traumatic, right? But then something amazing happened, which is that same intense light, that same intense energy, which left sort of unbound and just out there, caused the souls of the Jewish people to expire, somehow the Rabbanu Shel Moshe Rabbeinu were able to contain it in luchos, in tablets, and those tablets were actually able to make it down to planet Earth, housed in the Aron, and it's gevaldig. So this is the principle is that the greater the light, the more its function is to illuminate that which is low. And not only when it then illuminates that which is low, is it able to do that, but until it does that, it will create an unhealthy experience. So that light of Hashem, which is Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Le'ilecha, which is unbelievably brilliant and unbelievable, until it actually finds its body, right, so to speak, and its home, its rightful home, which is all the way down to literally blocks of marble, then it's actually destructive. Not only does it not fulfill its purpose yet, until it gets all the way to literal inanimate object, like a piece of stone, which is what the luchos were, right? Not only does it not fulfill its purpose until it gets there, but it actually is destructive until it gets there because it causes the souls of the Jewish people to expire. Says Rav Tzaddik like this, the miracles that took place during the era of Tarshu B'Chsav were miracles that were coming from an extremely high place. The fact that it was an era of prophecy is not a coincidence, right? Like the different, you know, what happened when the transition from the era of Tarshish B'Chsav to Tarshish Baal Peh, right? That transition was basically the end of, was prophecy to after prophecy. the era of prophecy meant that, like, it was unbelievable light coming to the world, right? Like, similar to Har Sinai. When you have a miracle of that era, demands a vessel that's very earthly and very tangible. Very, very tangible. Therefore, says Rav Tzadik, it's specifically Torah Shebichsav, that's able to house sort of this tremendous light that's coming from Hashem. This is why the era, the miracles of Torah Shebichsav are compared to nighttime. Nighttime, not in terms of the fact that it's not clear, but like the Gemara says in Pesachim, nighttime is a term, is a mashal for this physical world. Because the miracles that were happening in those earlier generations were so intense that they're specifically custom made to illuminate a world which is compared to nighttime. That's what it's for. And until it makes its way all the way down to a physical home, then it's actually, it's almost destructive and it's difficult to handle. Therefore, those miracles of that first era, that's why they're codified in Torah Shebichsav. What's Torah Shebichsav? Torah Shebichsav is physical. It's a parchment, a piece of paper. Because only when those miracles find their way all the way down to a tangible home, which is called the world of Torah Shebichsav, now they fulfill their purpose and they actually can be healthy, and we could relate to it in a healthy way. That's the miracles of the era of that original era. The higher the light, the lower the more of a body it needs, the more of an earthly body, the lower levels it has to settle into, in order for it to fulfill its purpose, and in order for it to be related to in a healthy way. That's Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebaal Peh, on the other hand, it's in this way, again, this is why the era, like I said, the era of Torah Shebichsav, the miracles that Purim is sort of the bookend of, is compared to nighttime. Not nighttime because it's dark and gloomy, but nighttime because that's its home. Its home, because it's so high, the light of those eras, the miracles of those times are so intense, that's why it needed to have a home which is so earthly and so physical, namely Torah Shebichsav. As opposed to the era after Torah Shebichsav, the era of Torah Shebaal Peh, the light of even miracles past that time, let's say Hanukkah, for example, is not as high as the earlier generation. Because it's not as high as the earlier generation, therefore it doesn't require, nor does it want, and nor does it need such a low earthly home, namely Torah Shebichsav. Therefore, it remains more in the ether, it remains more in the spiritual domain of Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? So that's the principle that Rav Tzadik lays this out, which means the following idea. Specifically, Torah Shebichsav, because of its greatness, because of its height, the space that it needs, its home that it operates and exists in, is specifically the physical, tangible world. Whereas Torah Shebaal Peh, because it's not as high, the space that it operates and exists in its home is more of the spiritual place, the spiritual world. You understand this is the model. The higher the light, the more earthly the home it requires. The lesser the light, the more spiritual domain it requires. Look how Rav Tzadik says it. Take a look at the last paragraph. The Nemar, it says in Pasuk, Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. Says the Pasuk, Hashem says, no man can see me, no person can see me and live. Right? That's the model of what happened by Har Sinai, right? Hashem talks and then everyone dies. The Bahargoshes Amitusa Yisbarach, to sense the truth of Hashem, right? Without it being filtered. Miyut Chiyas HaNefesh. That results in taking away life. Shulchelik of the kamimal mistalekis miskalatz makaira. The souls become sort of resorbed in their root. Kamayar haner bavuka samachlay, like a candle that becomes absorbed in a bonfire. The chayman the Torah. That's what happened by Har Sinai, right? V'zein in Torah Shebichsav, and this is where Torah Shebichsav is required. Such a great light That's the counterintuitive quality of the earth. The greater the light, the more destructive it is until it finds its proper home. And what's its proper home? The lowest, most physical level. And until it gets to the most tangible physical level, which is called literally a tarshibachsav, a cloth, a piece of paper with words on it, that's its home. Until it gets there, it's actually untouchable. It's unrelatable. We can't have a connection to it. And if you do, it causes even spiritual damage. So the greater the light, the more earthly the home it wants, and the more earthly home that we need to give it. That's Tarshish B'Chsav. Whereas Tarshish Baal Peh, which is a lesser light of Tarshish B'Chsav, it doesn't require, nor does it want, a tangible earthly home. The space that it likes to operate in is more in the spiritual domain and the spiritual plane. That's where it exists. That's where it is. Again, it's more like a flashlight as opposed to a floodlight. It doesn't want, nor is it healthy for it to be quite the opposite. If you take the light of Tarshish Baal Peh, which is not as high as Tarshish B'Chsav, and you force it into a more earthly home called a cloth with the writing and so on, then it loses its, it becomes lost in that physical casing. It doesn't, it's like you're taking I'm embarrassed to say this in front of you, like a 20 watt battery in a vessel that requires 100 watts. It's not enough power, so it's not, nothing's going to happen. But when you have something, but when it fits the vessel, then it becomes animated and it's gevaldic. So when you have an extreme light of Tarshish B'Chsav, and you give it a coarse physical casing called a scroll with writing and so on, that becomes dynamic and that becomes holy. That's a gevaldige thing. That's what the light of Tarshish B'Chsav needs, and that's what it wants, and then it's healthy. But a lower light of Tarshish Baal Peh can't descend into such a low casing. The opposite. It needs to sort of hover above the earth. It needs to remain in more of a spiritual, mental, in that space. That's the idea. So take a look at the last few lines, then we'll sum it up. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the last few lines. Four lines from the end. Five lines from the end. He says like this, V'chein kol kisvei kodesh, all holy books, in other words, Tanakh, all words, all Tarshish B'Chsav, k'dushasim l'kuch me'ksav da'luchas, they're all following this model of the luchas, which is, the most exalted light is unhealthy until it finds the most physical and earthly casing. That's the model of the luchas. And that's how Tarshish B'Chsav, that's the model Tarshish B'Chsav uses. That's why our chumashim always fit. It's using the same. It has to be very specific letters, specific writings, just like the luchas. That's the model of Tarshish B'Chsav. Avod dvarm shebal peh, but the words of Tarshish Baal Peh, hulahepech, is the opposite. Yev shel amram b'ksav. You are not able to lower that light all the way to such an earthly casing because it's not, the voltage is not high enough to enliven it, and then it'll become lost in it. Kipulas adam amaisa basar v'dam, the accomplishments of a person, which is what Tarshish Baal Peh is, right? Einik amaisa Hashem, are not as intense as the actions of Hashem, which is Tarshish B'Chsav. Ve'ena yochel hamshich chiyusa b'poyel. And you can't draw the light of Tarshish Baal Peh all the way down to physical casings and to physical bodies. Val Kain, so this is how Ratzalik says, therefore it comes out that we know the principle is that everything was created from Torah, right? Istaka b'raisa bar alma, right? So here's the model. The physical world was created, so you have two parts of Torah. You have Tarshish B'Chsav and Tarshish Baal Peh. And there's two parts to reality. There's the spiritual world and the physical world. Which one was created from which? Well, here's the model. From Tarshish B'Chsav, which is such an exalted light that needs a physical casing, from Tarshish B'Chsav comes the physical world. From Tarshish Baal Peh, which is a lower level light, which therefore resides in more of a spiritual plane because it can't go that much low, from Tarshish Baal Peh comes the spiritual world. So Tarshish B'Chsav, the space of Tarshish B'Chsav is physical world. Tarshish Baal Peh, spiritual world. Again, it's counterintuitive because you would think Tarshish B'Chsav is holy, so you would think that would be more spiritual. Tarsh Baal Peh is more earthly, is more human. That would be more physical. But it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Specifically because Tarsh Baal Peh is a higher light, therefore it requires and demands a lower vessel. And therefore the space that Tarsh B'Chsav is oriented towards is Olam Hazeh, physical, the night, the world that's compared to the night. Whereas Tarsh Baal Peh, which is certainly a very strong light, but not as much as Tarsh B'Chsav, because of that, the space that it needs and demands and likes to go to is more of the spiritual plane. So physical reality is from Tarsh B'Chsav, spiritual reality is from Tarsh Baal Peh. So let's go back to what we started. Said the Vilna Gaon, when you learn about Karbanos, it's as if it's happening. Said the Vilna Gaon, but that's only when you're learning about Tarsh Baal Peh, when you're learning it in Tarsh Baal Peh, not in Tarsh B'Chsav. Why? The answer is because what is the space of Tarsh B'Chsav? Tarsh B'Chsav is Olam Hazeh, is tangible. The space of Tarsh B'Chsav is the tangible space. The space of Tarsh Baal Peh, that's the more spiritual domain. That's the more mental domain. So therefore, it comes out that when you're learning about Karbanos, if you're learning about it in the context of Tarsh B'Chsav, then it's gevaldik, it's amazing, you'll get reward for it. But to say it's as if it's happening, it's not actually happening. But in the world of Tarsh Baal Peh, because it's a lower light, therefore it doesn't go, its domain is not so earthly. Again, that's the counterintuitive quality. Because it's not as high as Tarsh B'Chsav, it has to remain a little bit higher than Tarsh B'Chsav as well. And therefore the space of Tarsh Baal Peh is a space of the spiritual dimension. And the spiritual dimension, you can say that Karbanos are happening. You don't see the Karbanos, that's okay, because the space of Tarsh Baal Peh is not the earthly space. It's not the physical space, it's the spiritual space. So this is what comes out. Again, this is the counterintuitive quality. The higher the light of Tarsh B'Chsav, the more tangible reality it's oriented towards. The lower light of Tarsh Baal Peh, the more spiritual reality it's oriented towards. And therefore, Tarsh B'Chsav, the defining reality from the vantage point of Tarsh B'Chsav is physical, whereas the defining reality of Tarsh Baal Peh is more spiritual. And again, that's why when you learn about Karbanos and you're not actually doing it, but it's as if it's happening, that's only true in the spiritual domain, not the physical domain. That's only true in Tarsh Baal Peh and not in Tarsh B'Chsav. That's the idea. We'll just end with this, but the lesson of this in Avodas Hashem is a great principle, one of the most important principles in Chassidus, which is people think the more spiritual person is, the higher the person is, the more aloof, the more separate, the more, you know, the more disconnected. It's exactly the opposite. The greater the person, the more they themselves demand of themselves to have a more earthly home. You understand? When a person is not as spiritually high and not as spiritually sensitive, then they have no choice but to remain in the atmosphere. But the more holy the person, the greater the person, the truly great person, the more their home is down here on planet Earth. That's the difference. Rav Nachman has a Torah like this in the Likutei Moran. He says that people think the greater the tzaddik, the more disconnected they are, the more unrelatable. You know, we're unrelatable to them; they're unrelatable to us. Said Likutei Moran, that's true until you get to a certain madrega. Once you get to a certain madrega, then it's the opposite. Then the more relevant, and the more practical, and the more down to earth. That's sort of the model, because that's what's going on over here. So as a person, so everyone starts off like low. I'm not breaking news. Everyone starts off low, okay? But then as you begin to grow, then you sort of enter into that flash, the flashlight level, which is Tarsh Baal Peh, and your domain is spiritual. And you begin to become more comfortable in a spiritual place than a physical place. And that's good for the time being. But then you get very high and you get to Tarsh B'Chsav levels of light, floodlight level light, and then the opposite takes place. Then you become less comfortable in the spiritual domain and you become more comfortable in the physical domain. And that's the model over here. Tarsh B'Chsav, which is extremely high, is only comfortable in reality that's tangible. Whereas Tarsh Baal Peh, which is not as high as Tarsh Baal Sa'av, is only comfortable in the spiritual. And again, that's what the Vilna Gaon is saying to us. When you learn about Karbanos in Tarsh Baal Sa'av, Tarsh Baal Sa'av is only comfortable thinking in tangible terms because of its greatness. Whereas Tarsh Baal Peh, when you learn about Karbanos, Tarsh Baal Peh can say, yeah, it's ki'ilu, it's as if it's happening, because its domain is more spiritual, because because its light is not as intense, therefore it's not comfortable in the physical. But that's the idea. That's why ultimately the tachlis is to do mitzvahs, to be physical things, because that's the ticket to true greatness. Okay, Hashem should help us, we should be able to go from strength to strength. And that's what happens when you get to the ultimate madrega. Then you realize that the highest Jew and the lowest Jew are kind of sharing the same place. We're sharing the same domain, right? The lowest Jew is earthly, and the highest Jew is also earthly. So then everyone's good.